that I live at the Tent City down at Saul. We have had a pretty hard time since we've been here, but we're still here. And I'm glad to be here with my children, grandchildren, my friends, and my enemies. We have a lot of them here too. Because sometimes I don't look like we ain't gonna get away from here. We want a home. I don't want to go off and wait on a half no more. If I can just keep from it, I would rather work another way so that I could try to have a place that I wouldn't have to be drove away until the Lord come for me. I already got a home with the master. Got that a long time. I can't have him keep on talking about it, keep it telling people. I was born and raised with the McAmee. I fussed with Mr. Emmett McAmee. That was our boss, man. He rented the McNeil place. He kept us on the McNeil place until I come to be of age. Started to work in the field when I was 8 years old. I worked on, and we lived on the McNeil place so long until he began to think we belonged to him, I guess. All of my people then, they taken down with the typhoid and malaria fever. They quarantined the house. Nobody come to see about us. Mr. Emmett. He's Mr. Emmett McAmee. He see after. I believe if he had been living now, I don't believe he'd put me out though. I believe he'd have stuck by me. He stuck by us with the fever. We lost all our people. Lost five brothers. That's only all the brothers I had. Five brothers. That left me, my mother, and three others. And he stayed there with us, and we were so mind him so good, he started to buy a place. He bought the O.J. place and moved us from the McNeil place down on O.J. place. We lived on O.J. place 38 years. The house that I moved out of when I moved here. Stayed there until last year I reddish and voted. Then I had to move. I lived after his death, fell to his brother, Harry McAmee. He died. I fell. Miss Ethel McAmee was his wife. Then she, after I read it, she come out and told me I would have to move. She sent me word first. I didn't take that. Further on, I went up to see her. Miss McAmee, I come to see you. I got a word. I don't know what was right or wrong, but I come to see you. She said, what was it, George? I said, I don't know. Elsa was telling me something you said. So yeah, I said that you and Elsa would have to move. You would have to move. So yes. So well, Ms. McAmee, I thank you for what you did for me. You have been good to me up until now. Now you put me out the door. She said, yeah, you have to move. So you got from now to the 1st of January to move. So I stayed there. Until I could find me somewhere, and I moved on over here to the tent. Still here, having a hard time sometimes. Still on, pinning on the master, because he said he'd fight my battle. I know he will. I have tried it so much, I can't give him my. He has never left me alone. And I ain't got no mother, ain't got no father. Sometimes look like I ain't got no friend. But Jesus said he was friend for me. And I know he is. I'm still pinning on him, looking to him. And I have lots of grandchildren here. All of my people here on this ground with me. Sometimes I look around when they were shooting in the tents and all of my little grandchildren, great-grandchildren, I said, looked up to the mountain and I said, Lord, what am I going to do here? And I said again, My mind did get settled. I'm gonna stay here until I die. If I have to go down on this field, I done made preparation, trying to fight freedom down here for my younger children, so they won't have to stand out in the rain and in the snow and go to the blackberry bushes and pick blackberries and no sugar to put in them and eat it and go to the field and work a hard day. Now they go and saying, you lazy. Don't tell me I'm lazy now. Any two time I go to the bushes and pick the bears off the bush and they ain't got no sugar to put on them, eat them blackberries and cornbread and go to the field and fly a mule until the bell rang, come back and eat the same thing and catch my mule at 1 o'clock and go to the field and fly until sundown until it get dark, then say I'm lazy. No, I ain't lazy. Y'all lazy. That's who lazy. Because if you hadn't been lazy, you wouldn't have stood to see me do it. You could have helped me. It didn't help me. That's all right, though. You don't wait a long time to help. Look like to me now you hate to see me eating out in the tent, working all kind of undermined work, trying to get us out of that home. What do you aim to do? I wouldn't even undo a human that way. I wouldn't do a human that way. I got more religion about me than to take the poor people if I was able and put them out there and try to starve them to death. I wouldn't do it. Because the master ain't gonna let you do it. Ain't no need you to try. The man I'm pinning on, he said he was brave. Yes, I know he is. He said he was wild in dry places. I know that. Yeah. He have fed me so many days when I couldn't get none. He have put shoes on my feet. If you don't believe me, come on over yonder and look at the tent. He took me up off the ground in the tent and put me up on the floor. I'm yet standing on the floor. I got a floor there. Yeah, I'm resting good there. Mm-hmm. God is going to make a way for me. I'm pinning on him. I'm looking to the master. I am. I'm looking to the master. And all now, going to take me and carry me over yonder now, wake me on the half with some other man I know nothing about. Well, that's hard because I don't know nothing about him. It's hard to get along with a colored man, you know that. Because he ain't. I don't want to say this because I have to say it. I'm come fell. When you don't know him, you give him a little thought of it. He don't know how to do. He never have been a man. And he would do more if he knowed how. How do you expect for the man to know anything when you ain't never let him know nothing, just like he is me? I had never saw much is apple before in my life, before I went to go to Washington. Took the trip to Washington, I had never saw apple. Now y'all know that is bad. He had me a 58 years, didn't have money enough to catch a train. Go from here to Shelby County, talking about going to Washington. Why did I could get money to go anywhere? Couldn't hardly get change and clothes. Now I is got clothes. I is got food. And at times the churches give me some money. I thank them. I want y'all to know I thank anybody for anything they do for me. I thank you. If you do mean to me, I still thank you. Because I thank my boss lady. I told her I thank you for what you did for me. I ain't holding nothing in me again. Because I'm striving to make heaven my home. I'm working to make heaven my home. I'm bearing her name to make heaven my home. I'm bearing my burden. I'm bowing down in the morning. Yes, I'm crying in the evening sometimes, you know, trying to make heaven my home. That's what it takes. I got to love everybody. I can't hate nobody. If you do me wrong, I still don't hate you for it. No, because I'm on my way, and I don't see nothing to turn me back. I done gone too far to turn around. Yeah, I'm on my way. I'm pressing forward every day and all the time. And I was glad to go over yard in Washington and see things I never had saw. And I've been talking ever since I got back. Because I sure have saw stuff. I did see the White House. Lots of people say saw it. Lots of people ain't going to never see it. I saw the White House. And I saw the invitations. Abraham Lincoln. They said he was made of marble stone. And I went there and there was lots of people from far and near there. And they said that when the war was in the upstart, if the water would run from the marble stone. And they said, yesterday, which was Saturday, I was there on the Sunday, said water was so deep they had to put on a high-top shoe But the day when I went there, it was just wet. It wasn't too wet, it was just wet. And I didn't know what it was all about. If I hadn't heard somebody else say, I would have known nothing. The water could have been in there waist deep. I would know what it was. Because I was green, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything. But I was glad that they thought enough of me. And Mr. McFan, his part about it, he having a hard way to go. I'm praying for him. Shepherd Toad. Mr. Toad is a good man. I have to say so. I have to say Mr. Toad is a good man. Because I live right here by him. I know a good person when I see him. He's a Christian man. And the people is saying so many mean things about him. What they say, some of it, I mean, it might be true. Biggest of that ain't nothing but just false. Just telling things because they got a mouth to talk with. Because Mr. Shepherd Toad done a great thing when he let us got water out of his well. Because there's so many people wouldn't even let you get water out of his well. Because if it was Miss Malcolm, he wouldn't even let me stay on a place to even now and stay there until the one was over. Howl me out the snow until the one was over.
Yeah.
See, I had to get out before the winter even was over. And get out. The day I moved here, it was so cold. I tell you, it was so cold. It was so cold. The ground was froze so hard. Tall grass in my tent, I had to whoop it down. Stay there and put on a page bowl. But the Lord had brought me from the page bowl. Put me up on the wooden floor. Just like he put me up on that wooden floor, he gonna take me from the tent one of these days and put me where he want me to be. If he want me to be living, he gonna let me live. And if he don't, he gonna take me home. And if he take me home, he ain't doing nothing but taking his own. I belong to God. I'm one of God's servants, and I know I is too, and I belong to him. I don't mind talking. I told him I never will forget this year what I made God a promise. I told him if he just freed my soul, I would own his name anywhere I go. And you know on the hedges, highway, anywhere you call me up, I can tell you who I am. I want the world to know who I am. I'm letting my light shine so you'll know who I am. So I can maybe probably constrain some man or woman to follow me. I want you to follow me, because I'm almost Johnny. I used to have a hard time. All of us don't have that, you know. That's their fault. When Jesus was here, he had a hard time. Yeah, they called him everything, just like they do us. And I ain't near about tired talk. I got a lot that I can tell y'all people y'all need to know. So many people now today, that's what they need. They need prayer. If you were to pray more, them white people couldn't do nothing with us. God is over the world. He got the world in his hands. And he can't do nothing with you. The Lord said if he was for you, he'd mold the world again you. And the world is down on us now. Ain't a thing for us to do but look up to the Master. Sometime I look up. I don't have to do nothing. Just stand and look up there. Just look up towards the Father. When I look up towards the Father, the tears come rolling down the entire bouquet under my neck. Say, Lord, here I am. When the storm, the wind get to tossing it, tip from side to side, I call up the boss and tell him. I said, Lord, here I am. I ain't even got a shelter. I ain't even got a frame around me. You know me. Remember me here. Take care of me. And he just calm that wind, you know. I asked him the other night when the storm was on hand. I said, Lord, if you're going to be with me through the storm, I want you to send me that love that you sent me a long time ago. And I'm telling you, God come in there and that spat got on me so hard, I couldn't be still. I couldn't hold my peace. No, I couldn't hold my peace. I said, I went on later, I went to sleep. If he took me, it's all right. That's the way it is with me. After he take me, it's all right. I done made preparation for this moving day a long time ago. And I been around any two times, anybody. Ask me to do anything, if I can do it, I'll do it. I ain't got no saying for it. My boss lady used to call me, tell me to come down and work. God, as to what I do, I lay it aside and go down and work. Sometimes she give me a dollar, give me some clothes and moss and that hole's all in. I take and go on. Didn't say I would, but take and go on. When I got home, I said, she could have kept these old clothes. But I didn't tell her that. I said that after I left there. I took them old clothes and got them on home. And work. And then after I worked for her and anything she tell me to do, I do it. Then on the light, she used to tell me so often, say, George, this here is our place. I said, yes. If you see anybody hunting now, you tell them, Make them get off this place. Don't you allow them to come in here to hunt. No. No sooner I see somebody out there hunting, I'd go and cut them all. Y'all can't hunt on this place. We don't allow no hunting on this place. Now I can start right on back now. She said that. George, I love you. I love all of y'all. And man, they have some good raised children. All of y'all is nice, and I love y'all. See, now we don't have to come out there to see why y'all work or not. Because we know y'all will work. And nobody won't have to run you down. And when she see my boys out doing anything, she'd come to me. George, you talk to them boys. Don't let them do such and such a thing. Well, I would do just like she asked me. I'd make them boys mind, stay on her care, just like she was their mother. And we would go on, and I had a hard time raising my children. Sometimes, last year, she wouldn't punish me after already. My boy would have to pick cotton on a Friday and Saturday to get some money for us to have, or money to go to work on. I went to and asked her for $10. The first time I had asked her, she turned me down. I asked her, I said, Miss McAmey, she said, I said, will you let me have $10 to get me some groceries with? She said, no, I can't do it. I said, you can't let me have no money to get me no groceries to pick the other part of the cotton. She said, no. I said, well, I have to work out where you, well, you, some of y'all can work out and get some money and buy some food with, because we ain't got no money. Yes. I went on. I picked all the week until Friday and Saturday. Send the boys on a Friday. Some say that I'd go myself. I went one Saturday. I picked 169 pounds of cotton by Donna. We didn't pick no longer than 12. No, time was rushing. You know when you ain't got nothing to go up on. I was old, but I can work. I'm old, but I still can work. I ain't got that child to beat me working. I'd go out, I would work, raise my hog, raise my chickens, and raise my peas, my popcorn, peanuts, sweet potatoes. Oh, anything you can call and eat in mine, I always would raise it and put it up. When I moved here to the tent, I brought popcorn, I brought peanuts. I could have brought some sweet potatoes. But when I left in situation it was so cold, I had to put up. But I didn't try to bring them because I know it did freeze because I like to froze myself. And I got here and got time I got my thing loaded and everything like that, and ooh, it was so cold, I got hold. And I ain't been unhold from then up until now, but still, I'm yet here. I still own. I had a hard time since I've been there. And she knew I had a hard time. One year, I remember the time when my mother, when she was living in her time, Mr. Harry was living. And my mother, they used to send a rental check, they called her. First check she got was $18. He come out there, he sent in her name, the Manny Short. He called him Manny. She said, sir, didn't you get a check the other day? She said, yes. He said, well, bring it here. That check belonged to me. She said, Mr. McAmey says made out in my name. He said, bring it here. She said, Mr. Harry, would you take that check for me? He said, come in here and look at my bed. We then had, we called them croaker sacks. We had that kind of mattress on our bed. He come in there and looked at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But I got to have it. I got to have it. Took them $18, went on back to Grand Junction. I said to her, she left. Mama, at one time I said, I went down. I would have, if my name was on it and I seed it, he wouldn't have got it. That's what I told him. He wouldn't have got it. Then I went on. I owed him, my mother owed him from the boll weaver. She owed him $2,200. And she got at the place she couldn't walk. I took my children, they were little, put them in the field. I put one of my girls in the field picking cotton when she was 4 years old. She picked 30 pounds of cotton. Now, that is the truth. And she told me now, she tells me now, I put her in the field so young, I worked her spirit down. She ain't got much spirit now to work. I told her, no, she ain't with you. She just done got old now. She kind of lazy. She can work. And we took and went to work and work and work and work. We worked on that debt. I don't know. That's how come we stayed there so long, I reckon. We was trying to pay that debt. My mother said it's an honest debt, and I want to pay it. My mama was a Christian. She said, I told her, went to her, I said, Mama, I'm tired of working on that debt. Go up there in the fall, asking for some shoes. Oh, girl, you got to go back. Pick up all that cotton out and bring it in before you get in the thing. We had to go back there, the old piece of ragged shoes in the cold, and finish picking every bit of that cotton. Then you go up there, he'd give you so much cloth to make your dress. I'll give you some of them, a shirt, something like that, one piece around. And then we had to do the best we could, eat cornbread all the winter. Sometimes we'd get a sack of flour for Christmas. We stayed there and worked there and paid that $2,200 debt. When 21 years ago, I never will forget that day. My baby girl was a baby. She was born the second day of September. This is about the last of September, and I went to him. I was barefoot. It come a lot of rain. I said, Mr. McAmey, I want to get some shoes. You can't get them. I said, I got to have some shoes. I ain't got no shoes. My baby young, so I can't work out there in that field without no shoes, so I can't let you have none no good till you get to picking the cut. Can't let you have it. And he wouldn't even let me have no shoes. I went on back up the streets. I was crying. I went in another man's store, which was Mr. Martin in Grand Junction. And I said to him, I was sitting there, I guess I was looking pitiful. He said to me, he said, you around trying to get your stomach, ain't you? I said, no, sir. I said, I went down there and tried to get me some shoes. He wouldn't even let me have none. He said, he wouldn't let you have a bit of shoes. I said, no, sir, he did. He got up. He didn't say nothing to me. He got up and went, looked back there and got a pair of his slippers and gave them to me. And I wore them slippers all the one along, snow and everything. I didn't have nothing but that one pair of slippers. I wore them all the one along. So after we got through picking the cotton, he said for us to come up there. I wouldn't even go. I had two kids. I sold my kids. I sold one. I got $13 for one of them, and I got $15 for the other. And I took that out of money. That's what carried us through the winter. Yeah, I've been through the hackers, I tell you that. Then now he talking about I ain't lazy. I wouldn't call them folks a liar, but anybody got sense enough to know when they lie. They know when they lie when they tell the truth. Because they couldn't say you're telling a story, because the Bible said if your sister or brother tell a lie, tell him of it. But I won't say that, because that was my boss lady, and I always was raised to treat her nice. And I mean to do it. Don't care how she treated me, I mean to treat her right. And I paid her every dime I owed her. And got my clear receipt and cleared some money. The cotton we owe in that $2,200. Well, cotton was a good price like this year. And Mama, she cleared money and she went and she paid $100 on a mule. Mule was a good price then. And that mule cost her $200. She bought that mule and let him run over to the next year. And that fall come, that incoming fall, she didn't get chance, the boll weevil hit her. She didn't get chance to pay nothing on the mule to run on. Well, we decided to make another crop. We made that crop. Boll weevil hit us, was still bad. And the next year, we made a crop. The boll weevil was still bad. We picked up all our, they made us in August. They bought sacks and we went to the field and picked up squares. We started in June. We picked up squares until we picked up the last square. Until we got to picking up squares, they want a square on the stalk. We pick up every one of the squares and tie them up in a sack. And he said for us to burn them. And Mama said, I figure he was a sin to burn them. I won't burn them. But I put them in the sack, and if you want to burn them, you can take them and burn them. So she wouldn't burn them. He would come out there and get these squares and care the town and burn them squares. And next year, the boll weevil was still bad. We were still on. He'd take and come out there, and I was plying then. He'd make me put some bushes on the single tree and shoot the boll weevils out, let that hit the cotton stalk, and they shoot a boy we was out the field. And they shoot these boy we was out the field, then when us got through laying this cotton by, we come up picking up square. Picked up them square that year. Every year we picked up square. And we never got a chance to pay nothing on this debt. Till after boy we was kind of got kind of eased down and won't so bad, and they learned to come at the poison the cotton, but they come at then getting little in the head of the boll weaver. And that's the cause we owing that debt. And after we got so we could make some cotton, Mama said she wanted to pay that honest debt. And she got at the place she couldn't walk. My mother sat down there with me, 15 long years, just me and my little children. And I waked and kept her sitting down there till the good Lord come for her. 8 years ago, we'll be nine, the 29th day of this month. And if she stayed right there with me, and we made crops there. And some year we hit pretty good. When us didn't hit, I will tell the truth, old my boss lady. She was good to me until I reddish and voted. She would help me with my children through the winter. She would help me every winter if I didn't make nothing in August. And if I didn't have food, she wouldn't let the men have it, but she'd let me have it. I could go and get food until after I read it. After I read it, and she didn't tell me not to read it. She had told me not to read it. Well, she would have told me, I reckon if I had one up there, she told all the rest of them. They wouldn't even tell it. They would keep it to themselves, but she didn't tell me.
Well, Miss Turner, why did you register?
I read it, reading I read it. I've been saying, reading I read it, because I wanted to be a citizen. I read it so that my children could get their freedom. It wouldn't do me no good. I don't figure it'd do me no good. I just read it for my children so they won't have to stand around at the back door like I stood in the rain and when it's cold. And if she see fit to come to the door, if she hadn't come, she sat in the front until she got ready to come back to the back to see what I wanted. And I'd stand there and look up sometimes. I'd be so cold, I'd be shivering. And sometimes she'd come down and talk with me through the screen. I still was in the cold. And I said, if it take me to lay down, get out there, and get out on my knees and lap water out the trough with the dogs and hogs and things, so that my children to have a better day than I had, that I don't mind doing it. And if it take me to have to lay down and go on home to my father, I don't mind doing that. So my children to get the freedom. I don't want my children to have the time I had. I had a time, children, y'all don't know. Don't nobody know what time I had. Oh, no. When some day we had to, didn't get no biscuits till every Wednesday. Eat cornbread, they always said, some children tell us when to go to school, some of them in a little better shape than others. They said, there's so much cornbread, I see the tassels coming out your throat. You know that what children would say. There's so much cornbread till the tassels coming out my throat. But it won't that. You know how I deal with some people. That's what I tell you about colored folk right now. They get a little above you, past you, won't even speak to you. So I tell you, that way the world was about me when I was going to school. Sometimes I had to wash my dress that night. Didn't have a one. Wash that dress. I went clean on those then. I do now and got a heap of them. I wash it every night. Every night it had to be clean the next morning if you wash them every night. And I wash it at night and dry it by the fire. Dried and get up the next morning and press it and put it on. Yeah, I have no the time. My mother would go take the cotton sacks that we would pick cotton in, take it and make me dresses. And I had to put them on, wham. She'd dime sometimes. Go get walnut bark off the walnut tree. Y'all don't know nothing about that. And take that bark and put it in the pot and boil it. And then take these goods and put it in there and it'll die. It'll be paper when she take it out of there. Mm-hmm. I done that. Y'all may think I talking to hear myself, but I ain't talking to hear myself. I done that. I know. Come all down through that time. Yeah, sure do. Then now I say I'm lazy. I have a right to be lazy. If I can get a chance to rest, I ought to rest. I need to rest. I've been working 50 years. I won't say 58. I'm 58 years old, and I went to work when I was 8 years old, and I've been steady working. And then when you didn't work then, you go to field, you had to work, because your parents would take you down. If you, when they turn you loose, I bet you'd work if you could. They won't whoop you now by working, but they used to whoop you by working. You'd had to work. And sometime I'd be sick. If you say you're sick, you had to work just the same. Yeah, you wouldn't get no doctor. You couldn't get no doctor then. Many people died for Tanya because they weren't able to get no doctor with nobody for you now. You go to him for a doctor, I can't find you no doctor. No, I can't find you no doctor. You had to be just as low as you could be to get a doctor. And that's the truth. Yeah, back down the child when I come on, I'm telling you, to the time. I hope no none of the young people have to go through it what I would go through it. They wouldn't do it, though. Right here I'm now. You can't hardly make them say yes or no to nobody. He said, yeah and no. And now, I don't care how young a man, I say, I can't hardly help them say yes or no. Brought that away. Yeah, that's the way that is. Sure is. So I won't talk no more. I let somebody else talk. I know.
Yeah, would you describe where you used to live, Ms. Turner, and the type of life that you lived around the house, not necessarily in the fields?
In my house? I wish y'all could go down and see my house. You can lay there anytime you got ready. Look out through my barn was better than my house.
Yeah.
Got a log cross there and a log cross right across the middle of it. A little flue sitting right up on them two logs. And the chimney go right up through the top of my house there. And when it was cold, the wind blowing that house just like it do outdoors.
Yeah.
It's the truth. I had to make up. I couldn't keep warm. I had to wear so many coats. Sometimes I put on so many old rags and clothes, try to keep warm in that house.
Yeah.
It looked like just wait to meet a toady. You talking about a house, I had one. Y'all ought to been see that house. You could shake hands with me anytime. You didn't have to come to the door and shake hands with me. Walk around to any crack and shake hands with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to come to my house, you didn't have to come around to the door to shake hands with me. You can shake hands with me through the top if you want. Shake hands with me through the side. You can shake hands, go around behind that, shake hands with me. Anywhere you want. That you could look at. You didn't have to have no windows in that house. Not the house I come out. I go to her and ask her, say, Miss Ella, would you put me a chimney? She said, no. I'm not able to put you a chimney to that house. I said, yes, go on. I wouldn't say anything else about it. And how we got our water, draw it out of well, go out there. When them poles break down, I'd go out there sometimes, cut me some more poles, stand a pole on this side of the well, one on that side, and then put one across there and draw that water out the well. That's how I got my water out the well, drawing it. It was by rope. That's where my house was. And my house, when it rained, it'd be wet all over the house, the hall, and the porch, and the kitchen. That's how it'd be. It'd rain, and I'd be just like I done sky. That's the time I had sky every time it rained. And when you sky, it'll soon dry the flow. As long as you didn't do that, it'll stay wet a long time. But you go down and take some water and wash it off after the rain, well, then it'll soon dry up. And every time it rained, I'd go get my mop, go to mop. Now, that's the truth. Y'all don't believe it. That house sitting down yonder, ain't nobody staying in it. You can walk down and see it. When it come a storm, I was in a worse shape then than I is now because I can't feel no wind. It tend to keep a lot of fuss, you know, right away. But for the wind coming in now, I don't feel the wind in the tents like I do in that house. That's why I would, that's how I said, that's the reason I keep hold. You see, I ain't getting enough air. I'm used to a lot of air. I'm used to the air blowing on me when I was in that house. That's the truth. I ain't got no story. And she know I'm telling the truth. You don't believe, you go down and look. Yeah, the planks, you could just go around anywhere and stick your hand in that house. You couldn't keep a snake, nothing out of that house. Cat, dog, you couldn't keep your dogs out at night. You couldn't keep him out. He can come in there and go around to that other crack, come around yonder. Then come up through that floor around yonder. Yeah, he could. That's a bad. I tell you, don't say nothing about the house. If I wasn't getting the house, just a house, I don't know what I wouldn't do. Tell me that the boy that left here, he went to a house that had a bathroom in it. Yeah, I want to tell you, y'all let me tell you this, please. When I got up yonder and washing, you know I had a bathroom in that house. I passed so much. If I didn't get me a bat, Lord have mercy. Folks talk about it. 61, show strong. You got to be strong. How could you go down and strip off in the house and you just naked as a bluebird and the wind blowing in there and you cold and shivering and you can't keep cold, can't keep warm with your clothes on? You ain't going to pull them clothes off like you do to pull them off. No, you ain't going to do it. You got to know where to take a bath at. And in the tents, the whole lot's better there. Because you can just take a bath in the tent, you won't get cold. But down there, the wind just blowing in on every which way you go. Yeah, I tell you the truth, you like lots of times you look at that water, let it sit there. You ain't going to get in that water that way. Because you know I was going in no house. And they wouldn't even build me a barn. I went to myself, and she's funny to llama. And I went to her for to build a barn. She said she wasn't going to find nobody to build a barn. I went around and asked the other friends saying, to come help me to build my barn. And they come and help me to build a barn. She knew I'm telling the truth. Build a barn, and she said, well, George, I'll furnish you the nail if you can get the barn built. Got that barn built free of charge, and she wouldn't even pay now down to have it built. That's right. And I've been working all of my days. I walk out there anytime. Last year, I made me a 2-acre hog pen by myself. My boy was working till late, you know, it rained till late for to get a chance to work, and they had to go to work. That left nowhere for there's nobody to help me, and I just went on and put it up by myself. I can put up hog pen and work on paths. I can do that kind of work. And still on, been doing it all my days, and I'm used to it. That's why I get to ask and go to the wood pile. I don't have to do it. I got two big boys. They ain't too lazy to do it. I just want to do something myself. I'm used to doing it. Now, I don't want to say I want to sit down. I need to sit down, but I don't want to sit down. I ain't intend to sit down. Not if I live and keep my hair. I ain't going to sit down. I ain't got nothing to set off. I thank these people who have been helping me. I tell you, I do thank them people. If it hadn't been for them people, I don't know. I can't know. Can't call your name by name, but everybody that ever done anything for me, I thank you. And we all thank you, because if it hadn't been for y'all, this the only year since I've been born to know that somebody fed me through the winter. I ain't had now a year that the people would feed me through the winter. And clothe me. And I got clothes good enough to wear anywhere. Yes, and I do thank the good people. Sure do. And thank the Lord for it.
Well, how did you live during the winter? I mean, how did you eat during the winter?
This winter, I eat how I eat it. The different people sent me food from Chicago, from Washington. I can't call all the town, because I don't know many towns. And from St. Louis and other different places, they'd send us food. And that's how I got my food.
That's right.
Yes, I was thinking, how did you get your food when you were staying with Mrs. McAbee?
I worked for my food when I stayed with Mrs. McAbee. I raised it. Raised corn. That was my food. Then I had cows, I raised my meat, you understand? I'd kill hogs, salt that meat down, raised my lard, and then she didn't furnish you nothing through the winter, you know, and not until March. She'd turn you loose in August, and she didn't pick you up the more till the next March. She'd pick me up in March the 1st, but she wouldn't pick the men up till about March the 15th. That's how I got my food. I raised my food. See, the time, they said time gonna be hard with me, but you know, I'm used to hard time. Time is soft with me. It ain't hard. Time was hard with me when I was on the farm, and then sometimes, you know, we couldn't get flour and sugar. Well, we raised sorghum, you know, and eat molasses through the water. That would be our dessert.
Oh. What do you mean by when she picked you up in March?
She would furnish us money. She started to furnish me $30 the 1st of March. And she'd furnish me March, April, May, and June, and July, and August if I, you know, didn't have nothing in August. But I'm the only one she'd furnish in August. She'd furnish me in August on account of being a woman. And the rest of the men, they wouldn't carry them no longer in July. That's what I mean by she picked me up. Well, see, in the winter time, you see, I just had to eat what I raised. And then in March, then she come and furnished us a check for $30 a month.
The sharecroppers are supposed to get half of their crop. Did she ever give you any money at the end of the season? And how much did you get? Did she give you? And did she have any books or any accounts?
Well, you understand I'd have accounts, you know, because I'd have. Now, this last past year, I got 6 checks, and I owe $600. I reckon I must got $100. She furnished me $30 a month. And I spoke to her about it. I said, don't look like me, I ought to owe you that much. She said, you've been selling off by my figures. Why you can't sell off by them now? So I have to sell off by them. You the one handling them. So that's what she done.
Well, would she say that you owed her around $600 every year, even though she was only giving you that $30 a month? That'd be about $180 that you actually owed her.
About every year she didn't. The last year, the only year that she said I owed her that big count. Now, the year before last, I didn't owe her that much because I paid her out of debt. I've been paying out of debt ever since I paid off that count. And then I come and start paying her out every year. But last year, then she run it up on account of reddish. And I know how come she run it up, because she hadn't been done. She said it won't on account of that, but that's all I can see, because me and her never had a falling out of our life. I never stashed.
Well, Miss Turner, I know you've been dying to tell us about that elevator in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I got a great story to tell y'all about Washington, D.C. I had never been to, you know, to an airport. I went on to the airport and got there. I was standing there, waiting to see the plane come rolling on in. I just kept looking and cutting my eyes around. I saw some more people went out and went up the steps. After a while, I went out and boarded the plane. I just sat down, looking down on the ground. Do you know the pillars of cloud all down under there? All up under me. It looked so funny. That airplane was so high up in that air, I done went up above that cloud. And I wish people could see that. I wish my son could see that. I want my children to see that, but I don't think they will. So we went on. It took us, John said it took us 3 hours and 45 minutes to get to Washington. We got there, we went on to a hotel, and he said, Miss Thomas, I'm going to get you a room, and you lay down and take your rest so we can get out this evening. I said, all right. So he carried me on in the room. I went on in the room, and I laid down there, and I dropped off asleep, and I was sleeping so good. I woke up, I heard that telephone ringing, rung so high. So loud that the receiver hopped off that. That's ringing. Couldn't hardly wake me up. Woke me up, I jumped up, I got the phone, stuck it up to my ear, and hardly know how to stick it up there. I stuck it up there, and I said, hello? I holler loud. And he said, meet me down, you come on down to the road. I said, well, I got up, got ready, went on down the steps. When I got right around there, I thought I had to go down on the elevator. Now, how am I going to get down there? I walked up there to the door. Now, how am I going to get down there? I didn't think about looking on to see what was in the letters on it. I just punched it. First thing I see, I done got kind of scared. Punched that elevator. Went on up. Now, hear me stand here. Lord, what am I going to do now? Punch that. The elevator, come on back. Don't come over. I got on there. Door that's still standing open. Now, Lord, he had me standing up here in this door. I'm going to get out, fall out of here. But don't do stuff. I said, I don't know what to do. But the Lord that showed me so much, I just took that finger and put right on the right number. I guessed at that number. I put my finger on that, and the door shot up. And I went on down to the bottom floor, and I got down there, walked on out, started around the car. I met a boy. He said, "I thought you didn't know the way out. You staying so long. I just on my way up there." I said, yeah, but I didn't tell him I was lost. I was lost in there. I just saw him. I said, yeah, I was kind of asleep when you called me. No, I couldn't get out. That's how I come. I just walking around and I looking around upside down. I think I done well, though. You take me 58 years old, had never been nowhere but just 50 miles from home, had never experienced nothing. I used to couldn't even ride an elevator. Didn't know how. Didn't know. Scared to ride it. Scared to ride a train. I got a boy now, 18 years old, scared to ride a bus. Ain't never rode a bus.